So, all right, we're going to wrap up our call to action series today. We're going to take a look at Gideon in Judges 6 and 7 and 8. And hopefully you guys are going to take some action too. Because we don't want to just talk about how people in the Bible were called to action, but also how we are called to action. When you came in today, most of you, I believe, received a tag, right, and something to write on. And about 50 of you asked, what do I do with this? I said, I'll explain during the sermon, because I didn't want to explain it every single time, right? But on this tag, does everybody have one of those? Is there anybody who doesn't? Okay, I think Jim might be grabbing some. Glenna, you don't have one. Eli, okay. Hey, Eli, do you want to grab a few of those? They're right out there by the bulletins. I think Jim might have gone to pick up Charlie, not to grab those. So it's a blue box. He's coming. I'm sorry. I tried to get everyone who didn't come in through the front door, but apparently I missed a few of you, and I apologize for that. There we go. Raise your hand nice and tall, and Eli can get those to you. Hopefully you've got something to write with. If you don't, I'm sure one of your neighbors does. Thank you, Eli. So on this tag, later on, or maybe right now if you already know the answer, I want you to write down what you believe God is calling you to do. And at invitation time, I will move this down to the front. And if you are able, if you would like to, you're going to come up, you're going to feed that wire through this chicken wire here and attach it. And it's kind of a public, hey, this is what God is calling me to do. But please don't miss the sermon thinking about what you might write down or being nervous about coming up and putting it on there. And even if you can't get up and put it on yourself, I'll track me down, yell at me after the service, say, hey, Andy, put this on there for me if you need to do that. And I will be happy to do it. So Judges chapter 6, we find Gideon. Gideon is an Israelite. And we open his story as we do most of the stories in Judges. Israel has been disobedient to the Lord again. And God, because of their disobedience, has given them into the hands of a much stronger enemy. The Midianites, in this case, were oppressing Israel at this time to such a point, it says, they ruined the crops all the way to Gaza. And they did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. Naturally, Israel was desperate, and they cried out for God to save them. And God's response begins in verse 7. It says, when the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. This has been an ongoing thing, God's saying. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me. Through his prophet, God reminds them who he is and how they have turned away from him. God voices his displeasure very clearly through the prophet that he sent. And really, if you look closely, there's no actual answer to them. He doesn't say, but I will help you anyway. He does, eventually. But I can't tell you how many times I've read this story, dozens for sure. But I don't think I ever really noticed that initially there's not really an answer from God. The prophet doesn't tell them, hey, God is going to save you. That comes a little bit later. It just comes through God's action. When God sends his angel to call Gideon, that's in Judges 6, 11 through 16. It says, the angel of the Lord came down and sat under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. But sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. God quite literally calls Gideon out of hiding. He says, go, you're a mighty warrior. But Gideon's response is, are you sure you want me to do it? You think I'm strong enough? He starts making excuses, and his questions, they might kind of sound familiar to anyone who's gone through a time of doubt and uncertainty because of their circumstances. Well, if God is with us, then why has all this happened? I've always believed in God. Why did this happen to me? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about? Gideon asks. The angel of the Lord just kind of ignores those questions, just brushes them off. Though I imagine the answer probably would have been like something like, dude, you got it backward. God didn't abandon you. You abandoned God. I'm not saying that all of our bad circumstances are because we have abandoned God, but in this case, that's what it was for Israel. They were being punished because they started worshiping these false gods that God had specifically told them, don't do that. Go figure, they got punished for it. Verse 15, Gideon is still questioning this. The angel of the Lord is called a mighty warrior. The angel of the Lord is telling him, go in the strength that you have. He's already telling him, you can do this. And Gideon just, are you sure? Me? And that leads us to our first two points today, really. And the first one is very simple. Stop hiding. Now, Gideon had every reason to hide from a human perspective. The Midianites were strong, and if he did this, threshing the wheat out in the open, they might have just taken it from him. That's seemingly what they were in the habit of doing. They were bigger and stronger, and they took what they wanted. So it makes sense from some perspective that Gideon would hide away to do this, but he's scared even when the angel of the Lord is calling him mighty warrior. He's scared and he's worried and he's hiding. We need to stop hiding from what God is calling us to do. Hiding behind our excuses. Well, I'm not ready for that. I'm sure God could use someone else better than he could use me. It doesn't really fit into my schedule right now. I'm too busy for that. Somebody else will do it. We hide behind these excuses, and God says, stop hiding. God reassured Gideon, you don't need to be afraid because I am with you. Okay, the people that are opposed to Jesus, the people that are opposed in our time to the message of the gospel, they might be loud, they might be vicious in their attacks on the truth, but we don't need to hide from what we've been called to do because the truth is stronger. God's word will prevail. God spoke everything in creation into existence. He flooded the earth, but he spared Noah and his family and started over with them and the animals in the ark. God allowed Abraham and Sarah to have a child in their old age, through which their descendants would become as numerous as the stars in the sky. God put Joseph in place in Egypt so that his people wouldn't starve when the famine hit. God led the Israelites out of Egypt through the Red Sea on dry ground. He gave David the strength and the faith to slay Goliath. He kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego safe from the fire. He shut the mouths of the lions so that Daniel wasn't eaten. He made the blind see, the lame walk, the sick well, and he raised the dead to life. He defeated sin and death and the grave. That's the God that calls us to action. Why do we think that we can't do it? If He's calling us to do it, He's going to give us the power that we need. There's always going to be excuses, and Gideon had plenty. But the fact is, we need to get over our excuses and do what God is calling us to do. We need to stop hiding. Gideon says, "My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I'm the least in my family." So what? God called you, not someone else. He didn't go to any of the other Israelites and say, "Save your people, mighty warrior, because God is with you." Our second point is, when God calls you, He wants you, not someone else. One of the things we try to do, Whitney and I, with our kids, and what all the adult leaders in the youth group try to do with our youth students is, we want to kind of create a no shrugs attitude. And what I mean by that is, instead of seeing something that needs to be done and just kind of, someone else will do it. You know, shrugging your shoulders saying, someone will take care of it. See something that needs to be done and do it instead. And a few years ago, I was at Greenview in Centralia, and I taught a lesson on that on Sunday night to our youth group. And wouldn't you know it, our junior high retreat was coming up. And on like Wednesday or Thursday of that week, one of the youth ministers said, "Hey, I had so-and-so scheduled to do this part on Sunday night, and they're not going to be able to make it now." And it's something that I really didn't want to do. And I was like, "Oh, that doesn't sound like fun. That's not something that I'm comfortable with." But I had just preached, "Well, don't shrug it off and expect someone else to do it." So I knew, all right, yep, I'll do it. I've got to do it. I was kicking myself because, man, if I hadn't preached that message, I could have made a really good excuse not to do it. It was out of my comfort zone. It was something I didn't want to do, but I could. I could fill those shoes. I could take that spot, and I could get the job done. And I think a lot of times that's how we discover some of our gifts. Is we find an opening, we find a place where God can use us, and we just try. We just give it a shot. I did not discover that acting was part of it. I had to play a part for some thing we were doing. I'm not an actor. I'm not good at that. That is not how I discovered that gift in my life. I don't have that gift. But there are some other things that I've tried and I've done, and I found out, hey, I can do this. I can step into this role, and I can do it. Sometimes all God needs is someone who is capable, available, and willing, and you could be amazed at what He will do through us. We make ourselves available and give it a shot, and we discover, okay, yes, this is what God wants me to do. If you ask all the other Israelites, Gideon probably wouldn't have been their first choice. They probably would have wanted someone more bold. They would have wanted someone more physically impressive. Someone from a better family or whatever it was. But he was God's first choice. And that means something. If God has called you to it, it's because He knows that with His help, you are the right person for the job. I know at this time in my life, without a shadow of a doubt, what God has called me to do. I know God wants me to preach His word, and I've been able to do that for 11 and a half years or so now. And I've gotten a lot better along the way because I've said, okay, God, I'm going to do it. And He's taught me a lot of things, and other people have taught me a lot of things. And when I first heard that call of God on my life, I had my doubts. God, I'm getting a degree in accounting. You want me to do what? But what I've found is I'm more capable than I realized. And that shouldn't be a surprise, right? There's been a lot of learning on the job. a whole lot of, in youth ministry, a whole lot of trying things, and well, that didn't work. I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to have to change this and that and the other. But God has helped me become someone who can stand up here and, you know, Jeanette has the confidence to say we're going to hear a good sermon. It's a little bit of pressure, but I feel like I do a decent job. My first few, boy, if you'd heard those, you'd be surprised. They were something. But God can work with that, right? God works with us. He helps us get the job done. When He calls us to it, He gives us what we need because He wants you to do it, not someone else. But Gideon wants to be extra sure this is really God calling me to do this. So he devises a test for God, and God patiently, he proves, yes, I am calling you to do this. It's a little bit funny to go through that interaction, in my opinion, because, you know, most other interactions in Scripture, like when it is an angel of the Lord, like there is no doubt that it's an angel of the Lord because the person like falls down and like, oh, it's an angel, right? Or when it's God speaking to somebody, there is no doubt that it is God speaking to them. Moses knew exactly who was in that burning bush speaking to him. But Gideon's like, I'm not really sure it's you, God, so can you prove it to me? And God is patient. God understands. He doesn't appear to be angry with Gideon for asking him to do those things. But he's patient as he begins to listen and obey. On God's instructions, Gideon takes one of his father's bulls and he tears down the Asherah pole and destroys an altar set up for Baal. And he says, okay, God, I did that, but can you do a little bit more to prove it's you? And God still, Gideon's faith was growing. And God understood that. And God was patient with him. And God worked with him. He still needed some encouragement, some reminders. And who doesn't, right? Who doesn't need a reminder every now and then, hey, you can do this. Some encouragement as they do something that's hard. Most people, they like that. I don't know anybody that doesn't. Who doesn't want to be encouraged? Hey, you're doing a good job. You can do this. Right? Everybody wants that. And that's part of why I want us, when we write on our tags, here's what God's calling me to do, I want us to put them on here, and I want it to be somewhat public so that the church can encourage and support and cheer on one another as we do what God has called us to do. Gideon needed some of that encouragement from God because the next step was a big one. They're going to battle. He is about to face the Midianite army. Gideon has his army and they're all set to stand up to the big bad Midianites once and for all. And they got 32,000 soldiers ready to go, and God has other plans. Judges 7, verses 2 and 3. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. There goes two-thirds of the army. And Gideon, in charge of the army, is probably looking around thinking, okay, well, at least we've still got 10,000. Or do they? But the Lord said to Gideon, this is verse 4, there are still too many men. Come on. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them for you there. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. God is now testing Gideon. He says, okay, you tested me. I'm going to test you too. He's going to bring the army down from 32,000 to 300. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. 300 men out of 32,000. That's less than 1% of the army that's left. Because God didn't want the Israelites to think, well, it's because of our strength that this happened. We conquered the Midianites. He wants it to be very clear. He wants there to be no doubt. It is only because of God that you came through this. It is only because of God's strength that Israel would come out from under the power of Midian. And that brings us to our final point today. Don't forget, when God calls you to action, it's still Him at work to bring it to completion. He may have given you certain gifts in order to fulfill what He's called you to, but it's all through Him that anything happens. Yes, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. When it comes to spreading the gospel, the church, the local church, the people of the church, us in this room, we are plan A, and there is no plan B. For spreading the gospel and doing the work of God, we are plan A, there is no plan B. But through it all, we need to be clear that it is God working through us that makes any of this possible. Any good that the church does is only through God. I think it's okay, and I think it's even reasonable to doubt our own abilities, to doubt the strength of our gifts. But doing what God calls us to do sometimes means pressing on even through those doubts, even through those questions. So long as we respond to His call to action and do something. And we're going to invite you to do that right now. We want you to write down on your tag, God is calling me to whatever. I don't know what God's calling you to. God has called me to preach the gospel. So that's what I'm going to do. And I realize this would be a great time for me to write on my own tag and put it there, but wouldn't you know it, didn't get myself a tag. But I promise you I will get one. I will put it up there. I guess I'll have to do it in second service. I won't do it before because, man, now's a good time in the sermon to do that. But let's be a church that takes action. A church that sees a need and meets it because we are able. That doesn't wait for someone else to do it, but does what's necessary because we can. Whatever God is calling you to do, as we sing our hymn of invitation, write it down on your tag. Come and twist the wires up here, and we want to be bold. We want to proclaim, this is what God is calling me to do, so that the church can see, so that the world will broadcast the second service live, and they'll all be up here. We'll take pictures. We'll share it. Say, this is what the church says we are called to do. And then let's go do it. So let's sing. If you can, come up and attach your tag. And remember, God has called you to it, and He's the one who will help you carry it out to completion. Let's stand and worship.